Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, joined with Pastor Wes Bradenoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Past few weeks, we've been discussing certain phenomenons in the church today. Last week was Christless Christianity. Today, we would continue that discussion with a little bit different twist and label it Christ-centered Christianity, how we are to be Christ-centered in our churches, in our families, and in our lives. So let's start a bit with the church today. You know, Wes, Donald Gray Barnhouse gave a description of what Satan's ideal city would be.
Yeah.
Satan's ideal city would be a city where all the lawns are kept nice. Everyone is all the kids are in order. Everyone's following all the commands of their parents. The children are all obedient. The parents are dressed nicely. They're very model citizens, and everyone looks really good on the outside. And the town would be full of churches. This would be Satan's ideal town, a town full of churches. Now here's the catch. In all of which, Christ is not preached.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
How prophetic that could be. So in other words, it may not be that Satan loves the downtown LAs and in Seattle's as so much as a city, maybe a little bit like his great work would be a town like Linden, which is a place where in the Guinness Book of World Records has the most churches per block, or I don't know how that works. But anyways, he would love to root out Christ in a town where everyone's in church on Sunday.
Right. And, you know, the point is, Satan doesn't really care about all the superficial, external things. He knows that the heart of the matter is Christ and the gospel. And we're not saying that if Satan were to take over a city, that is exactly what it would look like. But that would be one possibility. And when the gospel is rejected, the point is, people can lead wanton, immoral lives, or they can go down the path of self-righteous legalism, following all these rules and regulations. Satan doesn't really care which, because there's no salvation in either way. There's no salvation in a wanton, immoral life, and there's no salvation in self-righteous legalism. And so, you know, the citizens of a clean, crime-free, moral, Muslim city are just as lost as the party animals in Las Vegas. Whatever the results, whatever the symptoms, Satan's supreme goal is to have our churches deny, ignore, or make a counterfeit of Christ.
And that just happens in the affluent culture in which we're in, where everyone's done well, they've made a lot of money, they've been successful in business. You know, we don't deal with death like we used to.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not death anymore, it's passing away.
Oh, it's passing away.
Passing on.
Right. We even to say somebody died today is taboo. You don't use that language.
Right.
As if people just sort of skip the whole process of death.
Yeah.
We're really living in denial today. You know, I walked downtown here one time and heard hymns playing, you know, and that's wonderful. But the point is that you can really live in such a closed atmosphere and affluence that what becomes the real stumbling block to people who've done well? Well, anything that would say, actually, things aren't well.
Right.
Things aren't well with the heart.
Here's the mirror. Look in the mirror and see yourself for who you really are.
Right. That would become the great stumbling block.
Like it says in Proverbs, you know, I think one of the most graphic pictures of sin and sinners in the Bible are found in the book of Proverbs. One of them is a dog returning to its vomit to eat it. That's sinners. Or in Proverbs 30, the leech has two daughters. Give, give. That's a picture of sin. You know, we're disgusted by leeches. We go swimming at the beach, we get a leech on us. Man, that's gross. Why are we not disgusted by sin? But that's the picture that the Bible gives us of us in our sin. And, you know, I think we have to keep on going back to that. We have to keep on going back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think in our churches, all of us and all of our listeners, we have a right and we have a responsibility to Christ-centered gospel preaching. And you and I as pastors, you know, this is imperative for us to get. You know, believers have a right to hear the preaching of Christ. That right is from God's word. You know, Paul says in Galatians 1:8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed."
Yeah, that's a very strong statement. I mean, everyone should hear that. Any other message than this one?
Any other gospel.
Right.
You know, it has to be the gospel of Jesus Christ found in the scriptures. And so our listeners, you have a responsibility to demand Christ-centered gospel preaching from your pastors. And if you hear a sermon that could be preached in a Jewish synagogue without giving any offense, there might be a problem there. And you should speak to your pastor, especially if there's a pattern, if this is something that's taking place regularly. And right. You know, how do you do that? Well, I would say, you know, take the stance of charitability. Be humble and, you know, ask him to clarify how that sermon or the sermons you've been listening to testify to Christ and the gospel. And if the answer that you get is not satisfactory, then, you know, be polite and just ask that he would in the future try to bring Christ and the gospel out of the scriptures and let him know that that's what you're hungering for, that you want to hear Christ, that you're like the Greeks in John 12, you know, the ones who came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." You know, and I've experienced this as a pastor myself. People come up to me and say, you know, "That sermon that you preached, we didn't really hear Christ through that." And it hurts a bit to hear that as a pastor, but I've grown to appreciate it. You know, I love to hear that my people want to hear the good news of Christ when they come to church on Sunday, and I want to give that to them. And I think as pastors, we owe that to our people.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think, you know, I was giving some thought to this. I could stand up to my people, Wes, and tell them that they're all beautiful people. I could stand up and tell them that they're doing real well in life and that God, you know, has all these wonderful plans for them to be financially successful and those sort of things. I mean, hey, Robert Schuller got a Crystal Cathedral out of that one.
Yeah.
You know, that message. And I could probably, I think you and I are, I'm not saying this in an arrogant way, but we're you know, we could be good enough to get in a few more hundred people that way.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing lasting in it. There's nothing that is more damaging to the soul than to feed people chaff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the calling for the minister, and this is where the glory of what we do is. Every time I go preach, Wes, I come home, and I'm just in awe that I had the great privilege to preach Christ in all of his beauty, and know that when the sinner heard that, it was something that had the ability to wash him, cleanse him, and save his soul from eternal damnation.
Yeah, and I think one concept that's often lost today is a concept that we find in the first epistle of Peter, is that we're pilgrims in this world. You know, we're not to set our minds on earthly and perishable things that are gonna someday disappear, but that we're to fix our thoughts and our minds on Jesus Christ. And that is what the preaching ministry has to do. It has to be something that comes to people who are pilgrims in this world, encourages them to think of themselves as pilgrims, people who have a heavenly home, not finding all their worth and all their value on things that are someday going to be consumed with fire.
This otherworldliness, this pilgrim theology should guide our understanding of how Christ is preached, because you know, if you're in this theology of glory we've talked about before, you know, Christ only becomes a great social cause, a moral redeemer, but he's not a savior in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And that does, again, that is not a benefit for the hearer's soul. It's temporary. And, you know, even Jesus, when he came, you know, he would do these healings. He would do great miracles. It is interesting, he always said, "Don't tell anyone."
Right.
You know, you have all these guys today saying, "Look what I've done." And Jesus, you know, some people are claiming to raise the dead. I mean, it's unbelievable. Jesus was saying, "Don't tell anyone." His purpose, this is the reason I came forth.
To preach.
To preach.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And that was public, and that was out in the open. That was for everyone to hear. That was what gave offense. People were very happy with Jesus when he was just the emergency room for Palestine. Yeah. You know, that was no problem. We can handle a Jesus like that. But as soon as he opens his mouth and he starts preaching...
Stones were taken up.
Yeah, exactly. People were offended at him. He became scandalous to them.
Right, right. He was not to be frustrated on the reason that he came forth to lay down his life and to preach the word of God.
Yeah.
And to preach his life and to preach the need for sinners to come to him. And how many times did he stand up and he said, look, I didn't come for the righteous. You know, this has been one of the great statements that I've loved. But, you know, the church has the seemingly impossible task of calling the righteous to repentance was J. Gretchen Machen's famous statement.
Yeah.
And that's what we're called to do.
Exactly. And I think for us to be, you know, Christ-centered churches, we also need to be Christ-centered as individuals within those churches. And I think one of the ways we do that is also by reading our Bibles individually with our eyes fixed on Christ. That we're always, whenever we read any Bible passage, because, you know, that's what Christ himself said about the word. He said in Luke 24, when he met the men on the road to Emmaus, he told them that the entire Bible was about him. In John 5:39, he said to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. He was talking about the Old Testament.
Well, and I think you're looking at what is Christ designed for us. Well, what does Romans 8 say? He foreknew us and predestined us. What was the whole purpose of being predestined? To conform us to the image of his son.
Yeah.
So our whole lives then, the great return to what happened at the fall, and the return is now that we all in our lives would be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In true righteousness and holiness.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen unless we are fixed on him.
Right.
If we are totally fixated, obsessed with him.
The life I live, I now live, said Paul, by faith in the Son, in Christ. Yeah. He is my righteousness. I am in union with him.
Yeah.
And that's what we must proclaim in season and out of season, as you do at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Yeah, people can find us in Langley on 52nd Avenue, just to the east of the airport. And our worship services are at 9:30 and 2 o'clock, and we always welcome visitors. And if you want more information about our church, you can go online, www.langleycanrc.org, www.langleycanrc.org.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. We are always blessed to bring these broadcasts to you. We hope they are a great encouragement to you. You're always welcome to call us with your thoughts and comments. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We thank you for joining us. As always, it's a real privilege and a delight spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments of any kind, or maybe even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or write to us, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. Or you can visit our website and drop us an email at lindenurc.com. In fact, we have a lot of information there, including directions if you would like to join us for worship. lindenurc.com. Now, if you're writing to us using U.S. Mail, you can do so at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, that also serves as our place of worship. If you'd like to join us, again, you're more than welcome. The offer is always open to you. Call us at 360-318-0429 for directions, or simply, again, go to our website, lindenurc.com, for those directions. And then we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.